We'll start the show in just a minute, but first, a word from our friends at Revin Research. Do you find it challenging to allocate enough time to your revenue management strategy? Or do you feel like you may be leaving money on the table for your homeowners, but you don't know where to begin? If you're seeking support to enhance your revenue management endeavors in 2024, your search ends here. Revin Research offers a personalized solution that not only grants you and your team more time, but also empowers you with the knowledge to craft an optimal revenue management strategy. With more time on your hands, you can focus on the most important part of the business, growth. As an official partner of Key Data, Revin Research clients have access to the data and market trends that help you convert prospective homeowners onto your rental program. In fact, clients of Revin Research report growing their inventory by as much as 20%. Visit RevinResearch.com and mention you heard about them on the Alex Nanny podcast for a free consultation.
Welcome to Alex and Annie, the real women of vacation rentals. With more than 35 years combined industry experience, Alex Huesner and Annie Holcomb have teamed up to connect the dots between inspiration and opportunity, seeking to find the one story, idea, strategy, or decision that led to their guests' big aha moment. Join them as they highlight the real stories behind the people and brands that have built vacation rentals into the $100 billion industry it is today. And now, it's time to get real and have some fun with your hosts, Alex and Annie.
Welcome to Alex and Annie, the Real Women of Vacation Rentals. I'm Alex.
And I'm Annie.
And we are joined today with David Angotti, who is the Chief Evangelist for Guesty. David, welcome to the show.
Hey, thanks for having me.
It's been a long time coming.
Yeah.
Like we've been following each other for years, but never really had a conversation. So for me and just for our listeners, why don't you give us a little bit about your background and how you got into the vacation rental side of the business? Because I did note on your LinkedIn profile that you had flown private jets, was it? Am I misunderstanding that?
Yeah, I used to do that a long time ago. And basically the short version of that story is after I did that, I founded an educational technology company, exited that and decided to retire at the age of 29, which was pretty boring. And so happened into the vacation rental industry like many people. So we'd bought a couple rentals out in Gatlinburg. We'd been fans of vacation rentals and had stayed in them early on, even on our honeymoon in 2004. And so then we buy a few in 2009 and it's off to the races after that. It's the normal story. We tried a few companies, thought we could do it better. So we started a property management brand, grew it to almost 150 units over a couple of years' time. We exited that. We sold it to VTrips and Steve Milo. And then following that, we built this book direct brand that was really successful as a book direct brand. And we carved that out of the acquisition. That was SmokyMountains.com. And so it was actually such a successful book direct brand that it turned into an OTA. And then that OTA ended up growing over time. And we launched FloridaPanhandle.com and HawaiianIslands.com. Around that time, Guesty comes along and decides to buy that brand. So we sold that brand and we started the DMO Amplify product, which basically takes any destination website and turns it into an OTA. We're specifically targeting DMOs and CVBs with that because it gives book direct like bookings to PMs, and it does it. We call them book direct because they're still merchant of record. It's a free booking. Most of the DMOs can't charge. It's also you get all of the guest details and you're also in your cancellation policies and all that. And so now fast forward just a little bit further, and I just accepted the role as chief evangelist for Guesty.
Wow. What a history.
Yeah.
So much there. So I just got back from your neck of the woods, as I shared before we hit play, in Gatlinburg and Pigeon Forge. And I love that area. I think there's so much there. And it's just such a rich vacation rental destination that has been one of the bedrock areas for how the industry has grown over the years. And actually, you and I first met, I think it was 2020, right before COVID, that I was up there for VRM Intel. And we spent a few hours talking about marketing and OTAs, and I was drawn to you because what you guys had built with SmokyMountains.com was very similar to what we were building in the Myrtle Beach market at that time, which was CondoWorld.com, and really diving into what you just mentioned, that you were an OTA for that area that people wanted to do business with, right? And is a very different atmosphere and just relationship that you had with your customers, as did we, than how we all look at Airbnb or even Vrbo sometimes, that this was more of a mutual skin in the game kind of relationship where you were looking out for their best interests as well. And I think that's ultimately what led your success and how you've been able to grow that and now bring that model into these other DMO markets. Can you expand a little bit on what that means for these DMOs? I think you said that some of them, they can't charge. How are the DMOs monetizing this? And what does that look like for the property managers on the other side?
Yeah. So a lot of the DMOs, the vast majority can't charge. Their charters don't allow it, or their government there locally does not allow the membership to be charged a transactional fee or a commission. They may have a membership fee that they pay on an annualized basis or something to that effect. And so really, when we're meeting with a like Gatlinburg.com or any DMO or CVB, the sales pitch for the most part is around how do we drive value for the members, and the members being the local businesses there, but also for all stakeholders. So the residents, the guests, everybody. And so we're very big on advocacy, for example. We can keep it limited to just professionalized, or the Stay Sense brand can go through and actually make sure that even individually owned properties all meet certain requirements around licenses and tax remittance and all of that. And so all of that together creates a better curated experience for the traveler that's coming to the market, but also for the members of that DMO, in that they get these direct like bookings that are flowing into their software completely free of charge that are just coming in.
Okay, gotcha. So as far as the integrations go, obviously in the Smokies, you had probably integrations with most of the property management systems because that was feeding into SmokyMountains.com. When you go into other markets, are you using that same API or those same APIs that you built to access inventory?
Yeah, the backbone of this product is really two things. It's all of those APIs that we have had to build through the years, tons and tons of these API connections to different PMSs, as well as channel managers. And so over time, we basically had to develop that. And that's around, we have access to 99% of all professionalized inventory right now. Some of those are native APIs with companies Evolve or Jocasa. And some of those are with companies like Apia or Guesty or SuperTrack. Basically, all of these different APIs together give us access to everything. So that's the first part. And then the second part is where we're subject matter experts, which is on conversion rate optimization and booking engines and all of what makes a booking actually happen. We're pretty good at that. And so we put those two things together into one product that we can deploy in a scalable fashion.
So on the DMO side of the equation, are you targeting specific size ones? Is it just Panama City Beach as an example? Fairly large, established DMO, been around and strong marketing campaigns, that type of thing. And I think I know when I was on the marketing committee, that was one of the things that they struggled with, was how to get all of the listings on the site. And it was traditionally, it was very much hotel center, because the hotels were the ones that were participating. They were paying the taxes. There was a lot of that uncovering people who were not being good stewards of sort of the business. So do you have an ideal DMO that you go to? And do you take the hotel inventory as well? Or is it just vacation rental completely like carved out?
Yeah, we do the hotel as well. So we have 100-something hotel integrations now that we had to develop as part of this project. Okay. And so it unfortunately could not just be vacation rentals. So the product started out as vacation rentals only, and came to the marketplace with quite a few misconceptions, as is often the case. And one of them was like, hey, we're really good at tech and these people aren't. It turns out DMOs and CVBs are super talented when it comes to tech. They have a lot of tools at their disposal that even we did not. And so that led to creating data products and analytics products that would really speak their language, that would make them want to do business. Because again, they don't care so much about profit. They can't take profit. So there had to be something else that made this interesting to them. And so that's where the data products came in. But then the hotel product also had to come into play, because they didn't want headaches where some of their members weren't being equally represented. Yeah. Whereas when we approached the space, there wasn't really a good vacation rental solution. Mm-hmm. So we thought, hey, we'll just deploy it alongside of the other solutions. And in reality, they want like this one stop shop. And so we did develop the hotels.
Yeah. That makes sense. And that was actually one of my questions also, is how you handled the hotel inventory. I remember I've served on both Myrtle Beach and the North Myrtle Beach Chamber and CVB boards over the years. And I remember in North Myrtle Beach, there was a company that came to us probably, I'd say 4 years ago. And I can't remember the name of them, but there was somebody, they were out west and they essentially wanted to do what you're describing, to turn explorenorthmyrtlebeach.com into an OTA, which North Myrtle Beach is primarily short-term rentals. But the main issue that we saw at that point, and the chamber was saying, yeah, this sounds great. But being in the tech and the OTA side, I knew the struggles that we were going through to get these integrations in place. And it was going to be a massive undertaking for the chamber to try and facilitate doing all these APIs. And in our market here, there's a lot of different property management systems. Like, it's not as just solidified as some areas are. Like, I know in the mountains, a lot of companies use Brightside and they use a couple other more localized ones. But in our market here, there's a bunch of independent property management systems. Ultimately, we did not move forward in it, but the hotel side was also the concern that, you know, you do have to be even-handed in how you're displaying the inventory. And I think that's a challenge that any OTA has, is how do you display hotel inventory alongside vacation rentals? And we've obviously seen on sites like Expedia how that gets very confusing, that you could have Crescent Shores by XYZ rental company and then Crescent Shores by XYZA rental company. And it just, it gets really dicey. I don't know that any of the OTAs have truly figured that out, but how do you display that inventory? And have you been able to crack that code of how to still make it a good user experience?
The easiest way to do that is to allow the user to self-select into the bucket that they need to be in. Now, maybe they select all, and in a situation like that, there's ways you can do it in the click stream itself. Are they clicking into more hotels versus more vacation rentals? And then you start to surface more, but keep some of the other in the stream for them. But the alternative way would be right there on the home screen, maybe have it default to all, but the easy way to select vacation rentals or just hotel rooms. Another thing is by guest count. That's one of the obvious ones. Once you tick past a certain guest count, now you bucket them into vacation rentals typically. But there's different ways that you can definitely narrow it down. It's not a perfect science by any means, though, which is why none of the OTAs, even with huge budgets, have completely cracked it at this point.
Yeah, that makes sense. I was surprised in Gatlinburg to see that actually most of the Chamber of Commerce, the board of directors members that we met, were all hoteliers. There wasn't any short-term rental companies present at our meeting, which I was expecting there would be. But, and to be honest, they, when we asked how many short-term rentals they had in Gatlinburg, they could not give us really even a ballpark.
Really?
Yeah. They, at first they said 1,000, and they said could be 10,000. It was a pretty wide range.
That's but surprising.
Yeah, very surprising. I remember Lauren Madewell mentioned that to me prior to going up there, that in Pigeon Forge was a little bit more focused on STRs, I believe. But I mean, I think if you looked at it, I would imagine there probably are more vacation rentals within Pigeon Forge, Sevierville than Gatlinburg. But, and just how it's pitched, the convention center is a big source of business for them there. And traditionally, the groups that come for those types of events, I know just in my past experience, it's really hard to get them to understand that they can do a vacation rental and it's less money and it's a better experience for the group, because you've got washer dryers, you've got shared living space. But a lot of these tour operators that plan these different conventions and sports things, they are used to the standardized ways to book rooms. And it's just a room. So that's always been a challenge that I've seen in a lot of these vacation destinations that have product that would be better served for the groups, but it's still not something that is being consumed correctly.
Yeah, I would agree with that. I would also say, though, that discovery, if you will, of the short-term rental sector may happen by need rather than by want. And as these conferences, like National Quartet Convention, as crazy as that may sound, that's a huge thing in Pigeon Forge, books out every hotel there and then pushes people out to the short-term rentals. And then once they experience it once, for all the reasons you just stated, they're looking for a short-term rental the next year, even if there are still hotel rooms available. And as we see sports tournaments and different things in each market drive that exploration based on need, then it can change the wants over time, I believe.
It's very interesting, because when I was in my hotel management, vacation rental management side of the business, I did a lot of group sales and conventions and things. And so Panama City Beach had gone through their evolution. I think you're pretty well aware of how it evolved from like just a hotel market to condominium market, vacation rental market. And so I was at a company that was part of that metamorphosis. And so we had split inventory. We had 625 rooms that were hotels, and we had a conference space. And then we also had condominium projects that we managed. So when we were working with groups, we would offer them both. And there was a lot of groups that I worked with that did the religious conferences are really big in Pigeon Forge, Gatlinburg over that week of Christmas. And so a lot of the accounts I would bid on same thing. And they were like, we always use hotels. And I'm like, we have condos too. And it was like, it really opened their mind to think like outside the box. Like all of a sudden, you know, they were just putting four kids in a room, or now they could put six kids in a room with one adult. Like they were able to really pack them in and almost double the size of the people that they could bring to a conference because of the availability of unit sizes. So I think to your point, it's something that unless it's presented to them, they just don't know. And there are some markets where the sponsorship dollar is all being derived from these larger hotel-like companies and not the condominium managers or vacation rental managers because they don't have big marketing budgets. They're working on razor-thin margins. They don't have the ability to go in and say, I'm going to be the gold sponsor for whatever events it is like the hotel companies do. So it does take a little longer to try to get in front of those people. But in your new role at Guesty, is that something besides helping people build out like an OTA, is it helping them understand the marketability of their market in using all of their inventory versus, again, conference center, hotel? That seems to be like the meeting style, what people traditionally think of as meetings. But now it's, okay, you have this vast market, all in this inventory. So you're helping them with marketing plans and how to diversify their reach?
Yeah, the new role with Guesty is somewhat separate from the DMO project.
Oh, okay.
I'm more evolving into that role and pushing the DMO forward and handing those projects off to other people along the way. But the DMO side of things, what we really try to reinforce with the DMOs and CBBs is, look, people are looking for these rentals. And we can show them based on, we do a quality of traffic analysis, the amount of people that are looking for rentals, the amount of people even that end up on their site that are looking for rentals, that then they are disappointing. And mm-hmm. they can disappoint them one of many ways. They can have a really poor booking experience, which is every other solution on the market right now, where it's these weird redirects and a subdomain that they're on and just a poor technology experience. But that's really the best case today. The next way they disappoint is like just a old school, like here's these companies listings and you click over. And then by the way, they may be completely different prices, a completely different website, all of that, or nothing at all. And what we're looking to do on the DMO side is help the DMO become really the hero of the story, where they both help a local business, they keep Wall Street dollars on Main Street, and then also help the end user find a legal, vetted, and licensed vacation rental in their market. And we believe when that happens, everybody wins. The short-term rental operator, the guest, the DMO, the city on the whole, you're going to have a different experience as a destination, and it's going to help lift the entire destination. That's really what it's all about, it just to boil it down to the simplest form. Of course, there's the technology and all these other things in the background, but at the core, it's about how do we lift the value of a destination.
I love that. And what you just said, keeping Wall Street dollars on Main Street is brilliant. And that's such a great purpose to have behind all this. And I think it is really easy for all of us to get caught up in the tech and the more tactical things that are part of our industry and how things are done. But remembering what the focus is, and that is definitely a great one to have, is really important. I think it gets lost in some of these conversations. So I'm glad that you mentioned that. And now I know for your role, your title is chief evangelist. So that was a very evangelist kind of line as well. What does that really mean? Are you helping them with overall strategy and keeping those types of messages at the forefront of how the whole company operates? Or what does your role really look like?
Yeah. So there's like the internal part of the role as well as the external part of the role. I'll start with the external side first because it's easier. The external side is I want anybody that's evaluating software to include Guesty in that evaluation process. And I believe at that point, the product will sell itself. And if it doesn't, we don't deserve to have the sale. But it is my job to make sure that everybody knows the products we have and will ultimately demo that product if they're considering a PMS. So that's the easy part of the role. The much harder part of the role is the internal side, because as I'm out talking with people, inevitably there's things about the product that needs to be changed or the marketing messages that needs to be changed. The reason it's a little more difficult is we have a lot of momentum as an organization. We have almost 1,000 employees. We have almost 350 engineers and product managers. So to put that, the size of that into perspective, it's 4 times the nearest competitor behind us. And so 10 times our average competitor. And so to move something through when we have more listings than anybody else in the world, it takes time to get change. Now, that doesn't mean change can't happen, but that's the part that takes a little bit more of a dance to get accomplished, because I may talk to one customer and they may have a great idea, but because we have so many listings, it may not make sense for us to implement that one idea that works in one market because of the stability of the overall system. But we filter those through me and then push them into strategy and push them into development. And I'm on calls with Amiot, our CEO, and Yair, our chief business officer, every single week. And we're just like really trying to roadmap out where the maximum value is to this whole market. And that's really what the role looks like, both internally and externally at a 30,000 foot view.
Yeah. And I've got a question too, and I'd love for you to set the record straight on this. A lot of companies, when I talk to them and they've heard about Guesty, they say, oh yeah, that's just a software for Airbnb listings. And I think Guesty has made significant strides from what I've heard. I don't think you would be there if that was still the case. Can you tell us a little bit what you would say to people that think that it has not evolved much?
Yeah. So that's typically going to be somebody that's less than 1,000 units that doesn't have the resources to do new RFPs every year. Anybody that's over 1,000 units is absolutely looking at us. They're considering us very seriously. Unfortunately, a mom and pop business, 200 units, can't do an RFP process once a year on every product. So they don't see all of the things that we've checked off along the way. So the thing that I would say at a very high level is, nobody is better funded. Nobody has a better team. Nobody has a bigger team. And nobody has more embedded products than we do today, whether we're talking PayFac or insurance or all these different things. Collectively, we have the best product right now. And what we're seeing is very quickly, we're seeing adoption on the 1,000+ listers. Most of them are under NDA, but it's starting to trickle down into the 500 listers, and then it'll be the 200 listers after that, so on and so forth.
And those are still big companies.
Ready,
yeah,
for sure.
Yeah, those are big companies. Like I think where Annie and I, we had Vered Schwartz on the podcast February of 22, I believe. It was somewhere pretty closely after the last women's conference that we went to. And we asked her some pretty poignant questions then about how do you work with condo resorts and condo tells and larger destinations and larger portfolios. And it sounded all very good. But I think it's more things I've heard that it's now that Guesty's just for 15 units and below, which that doesn't sound at all like what you're describing.
Yeah.
So I think it's probably misinformation that's out there. That was part of why we wanted to dive into this with you, because I think that's going to be obviously an important part of your role is getting that message out of this is not only a fit for larger portfolios, but that you're also taking input very seriously into how this evolves and what is built for the future.
Yeah. And when we look at the total product package today, what's so cool about this is the scale of developers that we have allows us to do things that other companies just haven't been able to do. Our BI team alone has 20 people on it. And we have a VP of BI. That's not even a position at most other companies. What does that do? That gives us these incredible dashboards that now we just rolled out North Carolina Trust Accounting at the trade show at Burma. Now our BI dashboards are seamlessly married to the North Carolina Trust Accounting. And so people, it doesn't matter what software they were on, you name the software, when they saw it and they demoed it, they're like, oh, wow, that was the typical response. And so that's one example. But then another example is now we have native price optimization, first PMS with that. And so why can we do that? It's because we have the machine learning experts on the team and we have the direct integrations with all of the OTAs. And so we have a better overall data and we also have the better way to implement that data both. It's so you take little things like, if you want to call it little, like 20 BI, a team of 20 BI experts. And then what that one thing allows you to do, because we can make that big investment over here. And so that's an example, but there's so many different things, whether we're PayFac, that's another good one. So back during 2020, during the pandemic, people saw payments frozen. We decided at that point, hey, we don't want this ever to happen to our customers. So we became the bank. And so now the payments won't get frozen unless Guesty decides your payments get frozen. That's an example of why that's important. But there's all of these things like that layer onto almost like 30 internal products in this one software that would benefit you, whether or not you have 1,000 units or you have 10. Nobody wants their payments frozen 180 days. Yeah. I've never met somebody that does.
Yeah. No one's going to volunteer for that role, right?
Yeah. Right.
Like that's the great thing about, and Alex and I have talked to a lot of people about it on the show, is COVID was like such a great learning opportunity for so much within our space. And I think that having been in the hotel sector in the beginning of my hospitality career and feeling like when I got to vacation rentals that we were so far behind the eight ball in technology, and to see the leaps that we took during COVID and post COVID. And I feel like just looking, if you were comparing hotel versus VR, I feel like we're light years ahead of them in so many areas. But everything that you just said just like shows why you're the chief evangelist, because you have that passion, you have that knowledge, and you're saying it with such conviction that, again, you know, what all of what Guesty's been doing the last year, when we interviewed Vered, she had a lot of passion about where it was going, but now to see all these things play out and the teams that you guys have built. And it feels, and I could be speaking incorrectly, but it feels like you've, as an organization, you've put a lot of stock into what you're going to do within the U.S. and the growth for the U.S.
We definitely have. We announced this at Verma. We did a pre-Verma VIP event, and we announced it there. We're going to hire somewhere in the neighborhood of 40 to 50 consultative market managers, we're calling them. And so those will be the people in your individual markets, whether it's Myrtle Beach or Gatlinburg or Panama City Beach. We're hiring all over the country. Obviously, they'll be there in part for sales, but they'll also be there for after you've made the sale or after they've made the sale, they're still going to be the point of contact. I believe people are tired of tickets. They're tired
yes.
of paying an onboarding fee that's astronomical to then wait months to get onboarded, to then get checked off that they've been onboarded, and then get a ticket number back when they have something that's impacting their bottom line. And so we're going to fix that with the market manager program. We're calling it field sales and field market managers, and we're going to have them out there to take good care of customers and of leads both. And it's also that one of them, Jared, a friend of mine, he's actually in somebody's office today because they're doing onboarding. And so as the person that sold the software, he's not just saying, okay, we're done with it. Okay, over to onboarding. He drove 2 hours from his house. He's sitting there in the office with them right now, making sure it goes smoothly. And then they're going to go out for a beer afterwards. And they're going to have Jared's cell phone number tomorrow when they have a problem. And right. I believe that when we can become more consultative in both the sales process to make sure we're actually a good fit, we're not a good fit for everybody, but yeah. make sure that we're a good fit. And then when we are a good fit, make sure that they have a resource at their disposal, then we'll be more successful. And that's one of the ways that Guesty is really demonstrating that we're a U.S. company first and foremost. We have more listings here in the U.S. than I believe any of our competition does, but it's been primarily in the urban markets up till now. And so now we're going into the what we've called the resort or leisure traditional vacation rental markets. And we're going to do so in a big way this year.
It's interesting you say that about the market manager. And I'm sorry, Alex, I was thinking my time at Expedia, that was one of the things that I think it was pivotal for me, but I think it was really good for the industry in that they had market managers that were traditional hotel, managing hotel. But when they started to get into vacation rentals, their recognition of there was a little more handholding that you had to do to help people understand the value of an OTA. And I think that when you have people that can have that consultative approach, it builds such a bond with not only that person, but the technology. They're utilizing the technology to its capability. They feel like they're getting what they paid for and then some. So I think that's an incredibly smart approach and should pay off dividends. And I think it'll be well received because there are not a lot of technology providers that have that level or that granularity the property management level that I think that this will do well for you guys.
And we just talked to Marcus Rader about that a couple of weeks ago with Postaway, that the real differentiator at this point is going to be the support, which really is the relationships that you have with these clients. Because as he said back in the day, oh God, what was the service that he said? This was like groundbreaking, DocuSign or something. And that was a big thing. Now it's not a big thing. Any of the tech that is being built, eventually it's not going to be a groundbreaking thing. But what's going to come down to is the support that you can actually have from that team that when you need something done, it gets done. Because I certainly know that in my role at Costco, as I'm out meeting with potential companies that we want to work with, that's what they are saying about their software companies, that it takes forever to get tickets. There's a ticket graveyard. Once it goes in there, you don't know when it's coming out or if it's coming out. Yeah. They can't get a hold of anybody. And that's very frustrating because in a lot of cases, some of these issues that they're having are things that are prohibiting them from doing business. They are not able to book reservations. Their system's down. It's check-in day and the server goes out. All these different problems that you need to be able to pick up your phone and call somebody. So I think the way that you guys are approaching that is really smart.
Yeah, we're excited about it. We think it's revolutionary in the PMS space. It's needed for sure. And it's one of those things we have the luxury of being able to do. So we are seeing early fruits from it. We started testing it this year already, and it's been a win. It's definitely a win for Guesty in that it's going to help with retention in those markets where we've rolled it out. And it's also a win for the individuals that, to your point, their revenue's blocked or something's going wrong. And maybe it's a setting that they forgot to click a button. We didn't show them well enough in onboarding that this thing needed to be done. But now it's an easy fix because they can pick up the phone and they can call a Jared or a John or a Veronica. And they're going to see that's that simple rather than being in that ticket graveyard, to your point.
Right.
Yeah. I think there's also a lot of people that will go into a new software and I think it's the same thing with channels. Like whoever did the onboarding and signed the contract and did the initial might not be there anymore. And just to be able to know that they can pick up a phone and again, not get lost in the sauce, so to speak. They're just not sitting in somebody's drawer written on a ticket somewhere in some computer cloud somewhere. I think an incredibly smart move on your part.
We've got just a couple minutes left, and this probably is not enough time to even cover it, but we'll use this as a foreshadowing of a future episode that we'll do, because I know we really want to pick your brain on some of the brands that you've built in the past and how you've really focused on building direct brands that are built on their own land and that they are not beholden to the OTAs. Can you speak a little bit to keep it in context of this conversation? What is Guesty doing and what are you doing through your role to help your clients build direct booking brands?
Yeah, so we're really big on education. And we went through some of that at our event that we did down in Orlando. But we obviously have the website products and we're pushing those ideas forward through that. But we believe that ultimately, most of the people that are paying a set fee for marketing services aren't happy with their results on the whole. We've talked to a lot of those people, and there's a reason for that. Typically, when you have a subject matter expert on search engine optimization and inbound marketing and things of that nature that's really skilled, they're also very expensive. So the best agencies out there, you're talking about a $10,000 minimum monthly retainer that just goes up from there. It's so typically a mom and pop business that has 50 to a couple hundred units, they're wanting something for $1,000 to a couple thousand a month. And it's just not going to produce the results that really they're hoping for. And unfortunately, a lot of the results that can come in that price point would happen even if they didn't engage the agency, because there would be some level of organic growth even without the agencies being involved. And so my recommendation internally at Guesty has not been to, hey, roll out this product that tons and tons of people would buy, but rather it's been, let's empower people to make the right decisions on their content marketing, on their inbound marketing, and basically empower that groundswell movement that can push this book direct forward in a meaningful way. So that's how I think about it at a holistic level. There's lots of granularity to that we can get into, but really at the highest level, we need the individual brands empowered and knowledgeable on how to do the same things we did at SmokyMountains.com as a property management brand that then turned us into an OTA because we were good at it. And it doesn't have to just be us that's that story. It can be so many different brands that have a similar story.
Interesting. I love that. I think there's a lot of power to that. And everybody at the end of the day is pulled in a lot of different directions, especially those managers. If they've got 25, 50, 100 properties, they're probably in that phase where they need to hire additional staff. But not necessarily, they're not thinking it's going to be marketing. They might need a property manager more than they need somebody in marketing. And if they're making that decision, this is where it comes down to the short-term thinking of I can just put more emphasis on Vrbo and Airbnb, hire a property manager, which will help me get better reviews, and I'll get better reviews on those channels. And so I'll be doing better on the channels. And then ultimately, they forgot that they were even thinking about building a book direct brand because they've gone down this different rabbit hole. I think the sweet spot is figuring out a combination of that where you are optimizing the OTAs. You have a certain percentage on there. I've heard you say many times, and I agree with this, that the OTAs are not your enemy. You want to use them in the way that is conducive to building your brand and your guest history so that you're not having to be 100% book direct and having to spend a ton of money on advertising, but use them within reason and get your guests coming back to you on your own terms. And it's a balance. I've seen companies do it really well with small portfolios, also really well with large portfolios. I think the more that you can put it in the hands of the property manager, and as long as it's something that they can manage from a time perspective, then it's possible. But I'm excited to see that, some examples of that as you start rolling that out with Guesty.
Yes, mm-hmm. to just speak to what you were just talking about, I think that it's important to recognize that it doesn't have to be an in-house team member either. You can have freelancers mm-hmm. that help you with this. And it's nothing against agencies either. I don't want to come across that way. But basically, if you figure you could do this yourself for $500, an mm-hmm. agency's going to have to charge $1,500 because of their right. overhead and their profit margins. And so as long as you know what you're paying for and you're okay with that, then that's great. Then use the agencies. But if you need every one of those $500 to scream, then you're going to need to probably have a freelance team. We use writer access for written content. We recruit great photographers on Instagram that you can have go shoot a local restaurant or attraction for oftentimes $75 is what we pay a photographer to go take 25 photos for us. And so we'll use these different tools at our disposal to roll out content at scale. And that's one formula. The other formula is agency. It's all about budget and what makes sense for that individual brand. But back to your point on the OTAs not being the quote unquote bad guys, the OTAs drove us 100% of our bookings at the beginning of 2014 when we were in property management. I would argue that we were one of the best book direct brands by the time we sold our property management company in 2016. It's that evolution from full dependency on them to full utilization of them that I want to see more brands take. I think that the perfect book direct ratio is 50-50. That's what we strove for when we had a very good stream of inbound leads. Reason for that is when you have 50% book direct and 50% made up of 3 to 4 other OTAs, then all of a sudden, if your book direct traffic drops, we can see that happen for lots of reasons. You could have a change in the Google algorithms or the social media algorithms. You could have a change in visitation trends like we saw after COVID. All kinds of reasons your book direct percentage could change. Then you can dial up those other OTAs to make up for that and gives your business stability. The other reason is it lifts the ADR when you have more demand. That's just supply and demand economics at the core. But this works. Use the OTAs to get to the point where then you aren't dependent on the OTAs.
Yeah, and I would also argue that OTAs as a whole, they're bringing you a customer that wouldn't have found you otherwise. Now, again, your job to own them moving forward, but they're going to bring you a guest that you wouldn't have been able to reach because you don't have the marketing dollars. You are not in front of them. They're loyal to that brand. And I think that all of that plays into the mix of your marketing. But what I fear is that there are people out there that, again, they don't want to pay and they want to do the easiest road to getting a booking. Mm-hmm. So they just turn it all over to one. And then all of a sudden, like we found with COVID, those people that had just one source of their business, they're no longer here to be able to share their story because they only had one source of business. So what you're doing, again, I think giving people the tools and the access to various parts of the tools and how to intermingle them is really good for it's good for our industry overall.
I think one thing that I've noticed too, now that I've been visiting these other markets, we call it the sea of sameness. When there are 10 companies in a market whose name is some variety of coastal vacations, coastline, something, or seaside vacations, seaside. And it's very confusing for the consumer. And a company might think that they have the most amazing brand, but it's very confusing when there's multiple companies that have similar names and they're about using the same colors. Things look very similar. I think a lot of companies in the last few years have really focused almost the majority of their marketing efforts are related to homeowner marketing when guest marketing is extremely important. If you have a very good guest marketing strategy, that's how you're going to get more homeowners. I know with Condo World, we did minimal homeowner advertising because they just came to us, because when homeowners would search for Myrtle Beach Condo Rentals, North Myrtle Beach Condo Rentals, they found our site everywhere. And so as a homeowner, if that site is ranking that high and has a lot of properties on there, that's probably a place that I want my condo to be at. And I think that's, it's, I think companies are not developing the brands that they truly want to develop because they're focused a little bit too much on the homeowner marketing. I really believe that, because you're not going to build a brand just through homeowners. You're going to build a brand through getting guests, and that guests that know who you are. Use the OTAs, but when they come and stay with you, they should know who you are. That's in the guest experience and the touch points. If you do or don't see them, how you manage that relationship, I still think there's a lot of reason to see your guest. And in some markets, it still makes sense to check them in at the property or to stop by and see them. But anything that you can do to make sure that they remember that they stayed with you and not an Airbnb, that's where brands are made.
Yeah. One of the things we did back in property management days, every single guest that stayed with us, when they got home, they had a box on their front porch.
In that box, there
were coffee mugs, there was branded coffee, there were a t-shirt, all of this different stuff was in this box. And what we found, that drove direct bookings.
Absolutely.
Because they're drinking coffee and it had the phone number on it, it had the brand on it. To your point of brand confusion, it helped with that, but it also helped with not going back to the OTA the next time. And so did it take work? Yes. In the early days, I have a picture that I've used in presentations where on my front porch were 150 USPS boxes. And I remember the phone rings and it's like the post office, hey, I think there's a typo. It says you have 150 boxes weighing this much. And I'm like, no, that's not a typo. We really have that.
Oh my gosh.
And so the poor postal worker had to take the dolly back and forth to the car. They had 150 of these boxes. But we found that it also mitigated negative reviews, because people would get home and have that box and reciprocity would kick in. And so even if they maybe had a bad stay, it would have my cell phone number there. And when it has like the number of the company founder, they pick up the phone. I remember one call in particular where the lady that had been the lead guest told me the whole drive back to Kentucky, I was thinking about how I was going to torch you in the review. And then I get home and this stupid box is on my front porch. And I knew there was somebody behind the brand that actually cared. So what are you going to do to make this right? And we had the chance to make it right for her and then win her back as a repeat guest after that. And so there's things, there's lots of ways to stand out. Of course, your unique selling proposition is core, and you have to have something that differentiates you from everybody else, since you're just a commoditized race to the bottom price-wise. And so figuring out what that is for each brand is quite important.
I think there's ways to do that. One, to figure out the cost of that box and having it delivered, shipped, everything. That needs to be built into your expenses for how you're getting a booking, of course. But there's ways to do that, that you could send something that is minimally expensive, that it is automated. I know Beach House Logos is one vendor that I've used where you can have your list of reservations sent to them each week, and then that's automatically sent from their warehouse to the guests. So you're not having to actually keep any of those things at your location, which is huge. But even if a gift is going to be too expensive, a handwritten note, or a handwritten note that's done by a machine that looks like a handwritten note, some sort of a nice card, that's also great to get as a guest when you return home, because people don't use mail nearly as much as they do anymore. So when you receive a nice piece of mail when you get home, I think Tyann from TouchStay, I think she does something to that effect as well. It's just about having an additional touch point. I think that's just a huge part of it.
100%. People want to know there's a human being behind the brand, whether or not you met them at the property. Some guests don't want that meeting at the property. I can tell you,
true.
If we just got there and we have three kids and we've been in the car for 9 hours and we just got to the beach, I don't want to see
you're not ready to shake hands. Exactly.
It's like,
no way.
That's a turnoff for me when I'm booking a property. Don't tell me you're going to come by. You send me a piece of mail that's handwritten that says, hey, thanks for staying with us. We're a family-owned brand and this helped this person or something like that. That speaks to me. So there's different things that speak to different people, and knowing that audience is critical.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. David, I hope that we can get you back and talk to you maybe 6 months into your tenure with Guesty and see how the evangelism is going. But in the meantime, what's the best way if people want to reach out and learn more about Guesty and more about what you're doing with them? What's the best way for them to reach you?
Yeah, they can just reach out to me on LinkedIn. I'm pretty responsive on there and always love hearing from industry folks. And obviously love talking about Guesty, love talking about marketing and just really getting to know the stories behind the industry. That's one of the things I'm most passionate about.
That's definitely one of the things we're most passionate about. I think that's actually in our opening song.
Yep.
Is getting to know the stories behind the people and the brands. And this has been just a pleasure to get to hear more about your story and not only in the past, but where you're going in the future. So we are excited. We'll certainly have you back. Thank you so much, David, for coming on today. If anybody wants to get in touch with Annie and I, you can go to alexandanniepodcast.com. And until next time, thanks for tuning in, everybody.